Welcome to the Store Builders Podcast, the place where we talk to industry experts and successful store owners about what it takes to build a thriving e-commerce business. Every episode, we deliver the raw, unfiltered recommendations that will catapult your store to new heights. Ready to get serious about expanding your e-commerce empire? Well, then let's get to work. Hey there, and welcome back to another episode of the Store Builders Podcast. My name is James Sowers, and I'm your host. And as always, I'm joined by Mr. Chris Lemma. And today, we're talking about critical drivers of e-commerce performance. So what does that mean? That means we are talking about a handful of factors that you need to get right as a store builder to improve the performance of e-commerce shops that are owned by your clients. And you may think, well, I'm a store builder. All I have to do is build the site, make sure it looks beautiful, make sure all the products are hosted properly, and push it live, and then my job is done, right? Well, it can be if that's how you want to limit the relationship that you have with your clients. But if you want to sell high-value projects and you want to get paid well to do it and provide strategy and consulting and continue to serve those clients past launch day and extend and increase the value of every client account, then you're going to have strategies for improving performance post-launch and in other areas of the business. So what we're encouraging for you today is to focus on just a handful of factors that can drive performance improvements and will improve the results for your clients, which in turn will improve the results of your business as a store builder. So I have a great conversation with Chris for you today. I know you're going to enjoy it. I won't hold you back any longer. So let's get into that. And on the other side of the discussion, I'll be back to tie everything together and let you know where you can find all the resources and references that we talk about in today's episode. So without further ado, here's my conversation with Chris. Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Store Builders Podcast. My name is James Sowers, and I'm your host. And I am joined, as always, by Mr. Chris Lemma. Chris, where in the world are you today?
I am in Guadalajara, Mexico. I was just down here on Saturday speaking at a conference about WooCommerce and to a whole bunch of store builders. And then I decided I'd spend a couple days here before I flew up to Atlanta for my next set of meetings. So, yeah.
Sounds like a rough life. Sounds like a lot of nice weather and some good scenery, I'm sure.
It's fantastic. It's great to be out here.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, hey, we have a really great topic for the folks at home today. I know you're excited to share some insights on this, but what we're going to be focused on during our discussion today is about how to improve e-commerce performance. And there are several different aspects that go into that. There's like marketing performance, there's website performance. But basically, at the end of the day, what we're trying to do is get more eyes on our product offerings and convert more of those eyes into customers and then recurring customers. So today, I just have a handful of questions I'd like to pose to you, Chris. I know you have some thoughts to share around those. But first and foremost, when we're talking about performance of an e-commerce store, is that really a question that is for store builders, or is that more of a question for store owners in your mind?
So it's a great question for store builders, though most of the time it's store owners who are thinking about it. So store owners are like, how can I get more eyeballs? How can I make more money? How can I? And a lot of times store builders play in the realm of just tell me what features you want and I'll go code them up, right? And invariably what tends to happen is you don't, like if you define your job as I'm building the store, you can get to the end of it and say I'm successful. And then if the store doesn't perform, that customer, that store owner is like, I'm not hiring them again because this store is slow as molasses, right? So, or this store just has a complicated checkout. And so what ends up happening is they blame the store builder because the store builder had defined their job too narrowly. So when you're a store builder, you need to define your job, yes, as I need to build the store, but also I need to be thinking about performance in all those different ways you talked about from the get-go, right? I just worked with a client who had spent tens of thousands of dollars on an e-commerce store that failed on the first day of launch. And it was because the store builder had defined their job very narrowly as I'm putting these bits of code together and handing it off. And then when the store fell down, right, and it couldn't handle the performance, all of a sudden the customer is like, I need a new store builder, right? And you don't want to get thrown out with that. You want to be asking questions and talking it through and helping. Sometimes even the customer makes requests that I've had to say, no, you don't really want that, right? And they go, what do you mean? I really do want that. No, you think you want this. Let me explain what the trade-off is. And then they're like, oh, you're right. I don't want it. So a lot of times store builders have to do the education around, I understand that you're comparing yourself to Nike or Apple or Amazon, but you are none of those stores. So let's make sure that you're making the calls that are right for your own performance and conversion.
Right. And what I'm hearing there is a little bit of, you know, this could negatively affect your reputation after the fact if your store fails for whatever reason. But also there's a thread in there that is, if you can master the several different factors we're going to talk about related to e-commerce performance, those are things that you can use to expand the relationship you have with clients and start offering additional services, ongoing services. That sounds like monthly retainer. That just sounds like more money and more value to me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're the first person they're going to go to if you've demonstrated that you're the first person they should go to when it comes to their store. But if you're not that person, they'll gladly look elsewhere.
Right. And I think the message we're trying to hammer home here is your job doesn't stop on launch day. And if you think it does and you operate in that way, well, then you can lose clients. You can lose that case study, that testimonial. And that's not something that we want. So that's why we're here today. We have a handful of specific things we want to talk about. And you touched on one of them, which is site speed and making pages load faster. What are your thoughts around that and solutions might be out there in the market that are attractive for store builders and store owners?
Yeah. So when you're talking about pages loading faster, one of the things we just in general, we know is that most of the shopping solutions, the shopping carts out there are dynamic, right? Which means that you're writing queries. There are actual SQL queries that are going back and collecting what's the product title? What are the product images for this gallery? What is the product description? What are the terms and conditions? What are the categories it's in? What are the attributes, you know, any variability related to? And so you're making all these queries and that will make your page slow down. And so one of the first things you want to think about, right, you want to make it faster, is figure out what you can cache. Now, in reality, that's normally one of the last things that I look at, right? Because if you can fix your code, if you can make your code lighter weight, if you can make your code cleaner, if you can do all those things first, then caching only helps beyond that. So, you know, one of the ways you do it is you start doing a really deep analysis of the code that is there and what you can clean up. If you're using WooCommerce, for example, there's a lot of templates. Those templates load things. You can start dynamically turning some of those things off with a little bit of code, a line here, there. And all of a sudden you realize, oh, my page is loading faster. But you also want to look at something like a Cloudflare. And there's other CDN providers out there too, right? But when you look at Cloudflare, in their professional plan, I think, they have a feature where you can say, hey, if this person's already logged in, if they've come to the site before, if they have something in their cart, I, on the site builder, I can drop a cookie for that customer. And when they come back, I can bypass the cache on cookie, right? Which means, hey, if it really needs to be dynamic for them, if they're going to their cart or their checkout, I can kill the cache, give them the dynamic stuff. But all those other pages, I can cache them completely, right? Because looking at the details of the t-shirt doesn't mean I need to run back to the database to get that. So caching and all the caching strategies definitely are a performance boost when you're talking about, and you got to know what you're doing. You got to dig into it. There's work there. But that's one of the quick ways to say, how do I help my pages load faster? The other, obviously, is clean up the page weight, right? So look at how many outbound calls there are. Look at how many, you know, JavaScript calls there are. Look at your images, right? One of the biggest sources of page weight is images. Make sure you're compressing those images. Don't compress them so small that they don't look good. But it doesn't mean you want to take your friend's photo from their camera and upload a 5 megabyte image onto the screen, right? So looking at the image weight, looking at image compression, looking at code itself, and then, of course, caching, all will help your pages load faster.
Definitely. And what I'm thinking about when you're talking about this is that stat that gets thrown around a lot with how short our attention span is in this day and age. I think I've seen it at 8 seconds. It might even be as low as 5. So if your page doesn't load in that tiny little window, somebody's going to bounce. They're going to go somewhere else. They're going to go to another store. So this is definitely a big problem that you can solve as a store builder for your clients and your customers. And you know that probably is twofold. You have your website on the desktop computer, and then you also have like your mobile website. So you can solve a problem in one place and maybe not necessarily in another. So definitely something that has some complexity to it. And it's a big, painful problem for your clients. If you could solve it, that's a lot of value for them and for you. You know, so what we might get into next is kind of the question that everybody's thinking about. Why didn't they start with this one? Is if you want to get some more revenue, if your clients want more revenue for the store, they want to push more products, what are things that you can do as a store builder to help facilitate that and start delivering on that promise?
Well, I'll tell you, the reason we don't start with that question is because it has a precursor, which is your site is loading fast already. Because if your site is super slow, it doesn't matter what you do with the rest of your site. because people won't be there, right? If your site is slow, just like you said, oh, you know what? I'm moving on. I'll go find it somewhere else. So you want to make sure your site loads fast. But once it loads fast, you go, okay, but now I want more revenue. So upsells and cross sells are fantastic ways to generate more revenue. When you define an upsell, you're saying, hey, how do I get something better than what I'm looking at, right? Is there an opportunity to spend a little bit more money and get a lot more value? That's an upsell. A cross-sell is, hey, how do I buy something different, right, that complements what I'm buying and also spend a little bit more money, right? Ultimately, in both cases, what you're saying is, if I spent a little more money, would I get a lot more value? And if you can make that case be true, then you're like, oh, this is great. So, for example, one of my classic examples is when I go to buy in the store, when I physically walk into an Apple store and I go buy an iPhone 10, I'm telling them, I'm anchoring everybody on the fact that I'm going to spend $1,000 on a phone. So wouldn't it be logical for them to say, now, given that you spent all that money on a phone, or maybe I'm on a payment plan, wouldn't you want a $40 case? Now imagine that I walked into the same store or any other online store and I bought a phone for $100. Do you think I would spend $40 on a case? No way, right? But the very nature of having anchored to a higher product means I can move the price of that accessory and make it a logical and intelligent cross-sell, right? Where you go, oh, yeah, I probably should buy the case because the case will protect all the money I'm spending on this other thing. And I probably want to buy a good case to make sure it really doesn't damage my phone. And so the cross-sell becomes really useful. Now imagine that I'm buying an iPhone 10 and I'm buying it with 128 gigs of RAM, right? And they go, you know, a lot of people like to watch movies on these devices. You might want more space. So don't you want to buy the 256 gig, you know, storage for iPhone 10? And you go, yeah, well, that's a great upsell, right? It connects the dots and says, if you spend a little bit more money, I mean, you're already at $1,000. If you spend a little more money, do you want to get more disk space, more storage so that you can have more movies on the go? And you go, yeah, you know what? Now that I think about it, I use my phone on the plane all the time. So upsells and cross sells are really great ways. And a lot of people will just, they'll just like, you know, I create my products and then that's it. And you're like, whoa, for every product you create, you want to ask yourself, are there better versions of this for slightly more money that I want to roll out? Or are there also accessories or additional items that bundle well with this that I might want to cross sell?
Yeah, and those examples that you shared are great because they actually harken back to a previous discussion we had around telling stories and talking about benefits to the customer and not features of the product. Like, I didn't hear you say a single thing about what the case is made out of or, you know, how it fits the phone or something like that. You basically talked about, don't you want this protection plan because it's less than 5% of the total cost of the device, and it's going to help you sleep peacefully at night knowing that if you drop it or you give it to your kid and they drop it, it's going to be replaced at no additional charge to you. I think that that's something that's been carried over from one of our previous episodes that people can write down again and say, how am I applying this all over my store, not just in this particular case where we're trying to drive more revenue through cross-sells and upsells. So I love that. I love what you said there. And I think that now that we have kind of like our page loads fast, we have some strategies for cross-selling and upselling people when they get to the page. The next question everybody's probably asking is, well, how the heck do I get those eyeballs on the page? Where do I go out into the world and find prospects, prospective customers, and get them to the store on behalf of my clients?
Yeah, that's a great question. So if you want to drive greater revenue, you know, one of the things we just talked about, upsells and cross-sells, is how do I make more money off people who are already on my site? But the next part is, how do I get more people into the top of the funnel, right? How do I get more people showing up at the site? And one of the best ways to do that is to have people writing reviews of the products you're selling, right? Because then they're not coming into the top of the page. They're not coming to the homepage. They're not browsing around and navigating. They're coming straight in for the kill, right? So if you get someone writing a review that says, hey, heads up, I looked at 23 backpacks last month. And if you are a traveler and you want to pack light and you want a backpack that's waterproof and you want stuff that has storage for all your digital devices and you want a USB charger and you want a compartment that's totally great for your, you know, your eyeglasses, sunglasses. If you want another section where you can weave in your headphones through it and leave your device inside, if you want all this, I have the perfect product for you. And by the way, normally you would spend so much more money, right? But these guys are doing a sale right now. go here. They've done all the selling. They've done all the selling. They've attracted traffic. They've done all the selling. When someone clicks that link, they've basically said, by clicking this link, I am motivated to buy. If you don't put any hurdles in front of me, I am ready to buy. And if you get not just one reviewer of one product, but another reviewer of another product, another reviewer of another product, and you start getting other people writing about your products, whether they're doing it out of the kindness of their heart because they're like, you have really great products, or they're doing it through an affiliate program where you've signed them up to write about your products, either way, right, you're getting eyeballs you didn't have before, right? And that becomes really, really powerful, right? So I bought a pair of headphones. I'm a headphone junkie. And I bought a pair of headphones that were super fancy, right? Big ear cuffs, tiny little earbuds inside them. They listen to the sound reverberate in my ears and against a bone, and then that pushes that back out. And so it customizes the profile for each ear, right? These are called Neuraphones, N-U-R-A, Neuraphones. And I took pictures of the Neuraphone. I tweeted about it. I put it on Instagram. I bought two pairs for buddies of mine and shipped it to them. I wrote about it. I mean, I wrote it on Facebook. I wrote a whole blog post about it. I was everywhere time, and I wasn't paid a penny for that. I was just thrilled to have found such an incredible pair of headphones. And I wanted the world to know, these guys are amazing. Well, that's fantastic for them, right? Because every time I put a link to neurophones.com, they were like, oh, this is great, right? I didn't need to be paid for that. I just enjoyed the fact that I was telling the world about something, right? So if you can find your advocates, if you can find your buyers who are super interested, one of the tricks is after someone bought it, wait a week and then send them a note saying, hey, I hope you like it, right? If you want to tell us about it, by all means, send us a note. Or if you publish about this, would you send us a note telling us where you published it so we can also, you know, get some attention to it, right? Neuraphones, the minute they start, you know, saw this stuff, they took my tweets and retweeted them, right? They're retweeting my message because they're like, hey, listen to this other guy talk about us, right? And you can do that too. So getting other people to advocate for your products, getting other people to do that in social as well as, you know, on their blogs, and getting that back to you brings you a lot of eyeballs, and they're predisposed to make a purchase.
Yeah, I think that's a great transition into our next point. But before we get there, you know, I've seen some e-commerce brands who have large followings on social media take the original photo from the customer and put it on their branded account and tag the customer's personal Instagram. And who doesn't want to have their name in front of 20,000 people? You know, that's just a nice little pat on the back that you can give somebody that has done you that favor of leaving that outstanding review. So that's just some food for thought for the folks listening at home. But I think what you touched on in the form of reviews, which tie pretty closely to like testimonials from customers or clients, is all around this concept of trust and authority and credibility in the eyes of a prospective customer. That can also be a big driver of e-commerce performance. So what thoughts do you have around trust's role in improving things like revenue, traffic, conversion rate, and things like that?
Absolutely, that's a great question. So one of the reasons we all buy at Amazon is because we're like, if I find it there, I know I'll get it in 1 or 2 days. If I find it there and it doesn't work, I know I can send it back, right? There's all these implicit trust dynamics when I buy from Amazon. But what if I'm building my own store, or if I'm building a store for someone else? Suddenly, right, that new store that I'm working on or that I'm working on with a client, they don't have the same trust factors. They're not Amazon. So now we got to work at those trust factors, right? And when you do that, right, when you do the trust factor right, oh man, people buy. So one of the biggest deals is your about page, right? Why are you doing what you're doing? Why did you create the store? What's your why, right? Simon Sinek wrote a whole book on this, right? But what's your why, and can I connect to it? Because if you're the backpack maker and you're like, listen, I've tried every backpack in the world. I travel all the time. I'm a traveler. That's what I do. And so I want a backpack that works for me. And you read it and you go, yeah, I'm just like that guy. So now what happens? That person becomes a proxy for me. I trust them. I put my trust in them because I read their story. Their story sounds like my story. I believe them. I trust them. And when they tell me I built a bag just for you, I'm more inclined to buy it. When we think about the things we bought that aren't at Amazon, right, or aren't at Target, or aren't at a trusted store, when we think about the products we bought at boutiques, more often than not, it's because we felt some connection. We felt some trust. something happened in that process. Why do people use Instagram, right? Because more often than not, there's a person who's put that product on or is showing that product in real life, which is really different than a studio shot, right? A studio shot, and you're like, I don't even know how big that is. For years, me and my buddy would fly on planes and we'd pull out the catalogs that have all the cool gadgets. And one of those gadgets in there was an R2-D2 robot. And the two of us never read the details. But we're sitting here talking about, God, one day I just want to buy that R2-D2 robot. Like, I don't know if I can convince my wife that it's okay to spend that much money on the R2-D2. And then he's like, did you see how big it was? And we're like, no, I don't know. He's like, read it next time. So we read the details and you're like, that R2-D2 robot's like 7 inches tall. That, what a waste of money, right? In a studio shot, you get no context. You basically, they're just like, here, let me make it look perfect so that you'll buy it. And most of us go, I don't trust that. But when you see it on someone, when you see someone carrying it to the office, when you see them using it in real life, we go, I trust that. So the kind of photos that you do drive trust. The about page and the story you tell about your background and why you're doing the store drives trust. If you want to compare yourself against your alternatives, like, hey, if today one of the hottest markets is selling beds, right? If you want to buy a mattress, there's 10, easily 10 companies that are all vying for your eyeballs to buy a mattress straight up from online. Don't go into a store anywhere. They'll give you 100 days. They'll give you 365 days. Why are they doing it? Because they're like, listen, you're going to go to some store and you're going to pay all this extra money for the middleman. I can cut your cost in half if I do a direct distribution straight to you, right? You go, yeah, but the only way that's going to work is if I trust you. I got to trust that you will deliver. I got to trust that my money's going to make sense. I have to trust that the product. So that's where testimonials become really useful. Reviews become useful. Offsite reviews, right? How do you get your customers to go to some third-party neutral review site and write about your product over there, right? Do anything and send them with coupons or anything else. Because those of us going to buy a mattress, what are we going to do? I'm not just going to go to your website. I'm going to go to the third-party trust, you know, player, their third-party review player, and read there what people are saying. And if there's a lot of positive notes, that's interesting. So as a store builder, our job is to go to that store owner and say, listen, you're not Amazon. You're not Apple. You're not Nike. You are a little boutique, and we have to do this extra work to make sure people will trust you.
Yeah, and I think there's a message of optimism in there, and that we acknowledge that not every e-commerce brand can offer two-day shipping or 100% money-back guarantee or anything like that. But there are ways that you can still earn trust in the eyes of your customers. And you talked about a lot of those. It could be your personal story. It can be the testimonials on your site. It might even be customer support and how engaged and available you are there and how you're ready to just field any questions that somebody might have pre-purchase and then support them post-purchase once they get their product in hand. So a lot of great ideas there. And, you know, I think what we've covered so far is we talked about how to get traffic to your site. We talked about how to make sure the page loads quickly, build that trust, drive revenue up that way. The last thing that I have in mind here is how do we make the experience sticky, for lack of a better term? So if somebody comes to us, let's say maybe they don't buy, how do we get them to come back and reconsider? If they do buy, how do we turn them into repeat customers or some of the advocates that you talked about earlier? What are the strategies for improving e-commerce store performance from a stickiness or a re-engagement perspective?
Awesome. Yep, that's great. Well, obviously, we know that there's something called retargeting, right? Which is, this happens to us in the worst possible ways. Like, you go to Nike, you look at a pair of shoes, and you're like, oh, that looks good. So you buy the pair of shoes. And then for the rest of the next month, on every other website you go to and Facebook, all they do is show you Nike shoes. And you're like, I already bought them, right? So retargeting is the lowest common denominator of how do you keep your brand top of mind. It can have some negative pushback because they're like, I already bought it. Just don't, like, imagine if I bought a bed. You spend $1,000. You're like, I don't plan to spend $1,000 on a bed, you know, for another 5 to 10 years. Do not show me those ads. But they're like, yeah, but what if you didn't buy that day? And what if you're still thinking about it? And what if you looked at 10 others, but I'm the one that you keep showing up and seeing another place? So you're like, okay, I get it. Retargeting is one way to do it. But there are others, right? Like cart abandonment tricks, right? So if I put something in my cart and then I leave, what kind of automated follow-up do you have? So at Liquid Web, we do stuff with WooCommerce, and we partner with a company called Jilt, right? And Jilt is a solution that works for several different platforms. But what it does is helps with cart abandonment. Now, there's many other players like Jilt. And what happens is you go, I know there's a magic 7-day window. I know that if you don't come back, you know, in 7 days, you're never coming back. So how do I, you know, invite you to give me your information when you're putting something in your cart? And then how do I circle back and send reminders and or discounts, et cetera, right? One of my favorites, several years ago, I worked with a company that was doing super intelligent follow-up, automated follow-ups, and they would not send you a discount for the item that was in your cart. They sent you a discount for an adjacent product. So if I was buying a lantern for camping, they might send me a discount for a sleeping bag, right? So that I would come back and still buy the lantern, but I'd also grow my, right? That's a cross-sell and a coupon for a cross-sell. And you're like, that's brilliant because I spent even more money with you, right? And so you definitely can look at, okay, how do I do that? How do I get more people, you know, connected, sticky because of the Vanacart? But there's another one that I really like, which is tied to that thing we were talking about with reviews, which is how do you invite people after they've used the product for a period of time to come back and write a review on your site or to go somewhere else and write a review? And then how do you incentivize that? How do you make it worth their while? And you could do that short term, like, hey, after 5 days, I would like you to write me on my site a testimonial for why you chose us. That's the question I want you to answer. Who else did you look at and why you chose us? What's happening, right, in terms of brain chemistry, what's happening is they're repitching themselves on you all over again, right? I mean, they are themselves telling themselves while they're writing it why you're so amazing. Now, they're also writing it out for you, but that means that you could give them a coupon for 10% off, and they are more in the place to buy from you, that second purchase or that third purchase, better than if you hadn't asked for it, right? So answer the question, you know, why'd you choose us among all the alternatives you're looking at? And then wait 5 months, 6 months, and you might send another one that says, hey, we have a third-party review site. I'd love for you, now that you've used it for a while, right, to either send me a note why you're not using it anymore, right? But if you are still using it, go to this review site, blah, 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 and we'd love to give you another, you know, gift for doing that. And what you're really doing is creating a really positive way for people to reconnect with the brand, even after maybe it fell off for a little while. And then you're giving them a reason to come back to the store and buy because you've given them a discount.
Yeah. And depending on the level of analytics that you have available, you may be able to find a specific window where people are most likely to come back and actually make a purchase and position that offer inside of that window. So I know some folks can kind of see, hey, on average, somebody buys a mattress and then 3 years later, they come back and buy a mattress. Well, that's a pretty long horizon. But with a better example, you could think maybe 6 or 12 months out of purchase, you drop one of those review pitches in there and that gets somebody back on the site and you hit them right at the right time where their sneakers are wearing out or whatever it is they bought from you needs replaced or upgraded and they're ready to make another purchase right there. So I love that suggestion and the other ones that you shared there. And I think, you know, that covers the foundational elements of drivers of e-commerce store performance. I think what we might do to wrap things up and put a nice bow on them is everything we talked about today, the benefit to the store owner is crystal clear. It's more money, it's more traffic, you know, it's better trust that their customers, you know, they see them with a more positive light. But what exactly would you say is the benefit to the store builder and what value are they deriving from the work that they do to improve these drivers of e-commerce performance?
That's a great wrap-up question because here's the thing, right? The store builder often doesn't get the credit for that, right? Like they just do all the work and then the store takes off and then everyone's talking to the store owner and going, oh my God, this is amazing. But what tends to happen is if your store owner is making money because of the decisions, the little decisions you made to help them, that store owner is more inclined to ask you for the next project and the project after that and project after that. So the value, the lifetime value of your customers goes up the more you help them grow their business. So that's good news for you because every project becomes more valuable. You already talked about it as retainers, longer term relationships, project two, project three, there's that. But there is also the word of mouth recommendations, right? Filling your funnel, right? In terms of your leads. When one store owner has an awesome store and people come to that store owner and say, oh my, this is an amazing store. Like, how did you do this? How did you solve this? And every time their answer includes your name, right? Well, actually, that wasn't me. That was my developer, right? She did this. He did this. But well, you go, do you have their name? Do you have their contact? I'd like to follow up with them. So you get leads that are, again, heavily predisposed to buying from you, right? And that's a lot better than cold calling outbound, trying to get a hold of new people that, you know, whether or not they want a store. So I think it benefits you in two ways. There is a third dynamic, right, that you could potentially do depending on how you play this out. I've known some agencies who do a discount on the upfront work, not like crazy, like they don't do 50%, but they may take 15% off the top and then say, for the next year, right, or for the next 2 years, we'd love to do a deal where we get 0.5% or 1% of revenue, whatever, if they believe, hey, this is a serious store that's going to really take off. And I know one agency who literally got 3x in a rev share than they did on the, you know, and the project was expensive. It wasn't a small project, but they were so committed to this store and really helping it succeed that in the end they succeeded too, right? Because they just, all of a sudden they're like, this is a revenue stream we never thought we'd get. And everybody shows up and tries to pitch you a rev share deal in the kind that where they're like, how about you don't charge me much and then you can make money on the back end. But this was very specific. We'll cut like 15% off the top, but we want that. We want to, you know, bet with you, right? And everybody was aligned in the right way to make that store successful.
Yeah, and if that works out, that can get them out of that kind of feast or famine cycle that freelancers and agencies sometimes fall into. If you have a certain percentage coming in every month from the revenues from a store that you have a deal like that set up with, then that's just a little bit more money that you know is coming in every single month, and you don't have to sell a new client account to cover down on that. So I love that story. And, you know, I love the discussion that we had today around improving e-commerce store performance through a variety of ways. We talked about page load speed and driving traffic and improving conversion rates and building trust. Really great conversation. We talked about a few tools and resources in here. Of course, we'll link those up in the show notes. But hopefully for the folks listening at home, you took a lot of good notes today because there was a lot of actionable content in there. So as always, Chris, I appreciate your insight. And, you know, we'll be back with another great topic for the folks at home next time. So thanks a lot for your time, Chris. And enjoy your vacation there and the next trip you have coming up around the corner.
Take care.
All right. Thanks. All right, folks. So there you have it. That concludes my conversation with Mr. Chris Lemma about critical drivers of e-commerce store performance. I hope you enjoyed our discussion today. I think we covered a handful of really important topics, from how to make your pages load faster, to how to convert more site visitors into customers, to how to get more visitors to your site, how to increase traffic to your site, how to build trust once they land on your site, and how to increase the level of stickiness that will either keep them on your site for longer or keep them coming back to be recurring customers or refer other customers to you. So we gave you plenty of actionable advice in today's episode so that you can take that and implement that in the e-commerce stores of your clients, and by default, increase the value of the relationship that you have with your clients so that you start generating referrals and follow-on business for your agency or practice as a store builder. We shared a lot of great insights today, and I hope you took some really detailed notes so that you can walk away and start implementing this in your business. Of course, we're going to be coming back around to you with another great topic in the next episode. So until then, we're wishing you the best in life and in business, and we'll see you next time.